Anyway, we would like to welcome you all here to Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are Jefferson Baroque, as you just heard. I'd like to first just thank the church, Grace Covenant, and also the music director here, Chris Martin, who might be here somewhere, but I don't know where he is at the time, but for having us, for hosting us. And some of you might know me. I'm also a member here of the church. I'm Christine Anderson, and I'm playing here on Baroque violin, and we'll talk a little more about those instruments in a second. But I'd like to just introduce the rest of the group as well and talk a little bit about why we're in this amazing room tonight as well. So also on Baroque violin and also on Baroque viola, we have Raphael Seligman. On beautiful soprano voice, who you will hear in soon. Victoria Kinney. Also on a beautiful baritone voice and viola da gamba, Blake Morris. And last but certainly not least, on our wonderful harpsichord here, we have Bob Gallagher. We are here in the social room. You know, the sanctuary here is fantastic and acoustically for these types of instruments, but we thought about doing this program here in this room because of not just the sort of, you know, aesthetic ambiance, but we're finding acoustically is fantastic for Baroque instruments and these gut strings. But more specifically, historically, our program is a French Baroque program, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. And if you think historically, sort of late 17th, particularly in the 18th century, the age of enlightenment, the age of reason, you would have these sort of aristocratic homes where hostesses, known as salonnières, would invite musicians and philosophers and writers and scientists to come and discuss their ideas and play their new works of music. And these aristocratic women opened up these rooms, known as salons, in their homes. And so this kind of setting here seemed to fit perfectly for this French Baroque music that we were going to do today. So you guys are all experiencing somewhat a little bit of an 18th century salon. I will pass it on now to next
year,
talk about instruments or program.
Okay, I'm going to hand it over to Blake on the instruments.
Thank you. We are using instruments that are copies or instruments modified back to Baroque characteristics, and that includes a lot of changes that are made to the violins. They are not as steeply, the fingerboard is not as steep as on a modern violin, and they're not as arched. They use gut strings rather than metal. Some of the gut strings are wound with metal, which was a technology that was in use back then. The bow has a slightly different shape. It's pointed like the head of a pike, the fish, not the weapon. And you notice it curves the opposite to the way that bows today curve. It curves convex rather than concave. My instrument is a viola da gamba, after an English maker. It is essentially a guitar that's played with a bow. It has six strings. It has frets like a guitar, which is the only reason I'm able to play it. And it probably went obsolete because it's so difficult to play only one string at a time. But it stayed in use for many years, even into like the end of Bach's time, 1750, almost 1800 in some places. And it was considered to be the instrument that sounded the most like the human voice. The harpsichord is a virginal type harpsichord made by Zuckerman in 2012. It was designed for a small space, but this particular instrument is modified and designed to make a firm, pointed sound for playing continuo, for playing the chords that go along with the music. The strings go crosswise, and the keyboard is, you know, faces the player on the left-hand side, so that inside it looks like sort of like a spaghetti arrangement. Every key is a little bit bent because the keys have to come out through the soundboard. The jacks have to be arranged so that the keys match up with the jacks that pluck the strings. And so where a concert harpsichord looks like a piano and the strings go this way and straight out and are played at the ends, the strings in the virginal are played wherever the jacks happen to come out. They try to get it as close as they can, but it isn't that simple. This was designed for probably a smallish room or a salon like this one rather than a large hall.
Okay, I'd like to say a few words about the musical selections. My name's Raphael. I'm an internet scores addict. that's a joke to everyone but my wife, because late at night for most of the last year, I went to a site hosted by the Bibliothèque Nationale of France, the French National Library, where they host scans of scores in their collection. And they have at present over 7,000 scores, some in manuscript form, some early editions of music composed between 1600 and 1800. And there, as I started looking at these scores and imagining what it must be like to play them, I really got drawn into the world that they came from, the world of the salons that you were talking about, and also the world of private devotion. A lot of rich families had their own chapels, and there was music that was not formal church music composed for it, but of a spiritual nature. We have some of those works on this program, as well as some love songs, some airs from French operas and French ballets of the time, so there's some theater works. It's a mixed bag of stuff, and the common denominator, with a couple of exceptions, is that the composers are completely unknown today. These were people who had full careers, who may have worked in churches like this and produced music every week, and it's totally forgotten. But some of it is as good as anything that we've ever played. And so it's just been a wonderful chance to rediscover the music and to dare to put together a program of mostly no names. In fact, one character we couldn't even find on the internet, except for the score. And just to hear what they sounded like. And it sort of completes, we know the big stars, we know Handel and Bach, but it gives you a fuller sound picture of what people were listening to back then. We're even going to delve into a little music from the colonies in the middle of the show. One last thing, a number of the pieces, like the one we just performed, are in the form of chaconnes. Chaconnes were pieces where the bass line repeats every four measures or every eight measures, and the melody lines change on top of that. I imagine it's sometimes like being in a train going through different landscapes. You're still in the same place harmonically with those four measures in the bass, but they take you on some wonderful journeys. There are vocal chaconnes and instrumental chaconnes in this program. Hope you enjoy.
Let me just say one last thing. You will hear us tuning quite a bit tonight. Gut strings are very susceptible to changing sort of temperature and moisture in the room, and we all have to breathe here. So I just wanted to warn you of that. And the best thing you can do is just smile, because it's going to take us a little while. But bear with us. So thank you.
Thank you. Escetus omnia, mi amor serveia, o du sol, de mon carina, ba, 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 ba.
1765 in Williamsburg, collected by Jock Darling, who was the organist and choir master of Bruton Parish Church. So that doesn't look like a digital download at all. So this is a Scottish air that the American colonials were very interested in music that came from Europe. So almost all of the collections are pieces that were not originally composed in this country. They're fond of music by Handel, and many of the cover pages of the pieces by composers like Handel are actually written in French. So they've really imported their music from someplace else, and this is a Scottish air that is anonymously arranged.
And we're going to just play that right into another piece from the same time. We've got a kind of New World theme going here in preparation for Independence Day, but we never make it quite up to American independence. While the British were busy in Williamsburg, the French were busy in the exploring the Great Lakes and came into contact with a lot of native tribes, and some of the missionaries brought some of the music that they heard and some of the actual Indians that they encountered back to France and formed a sort of mini fad of American Indian style music in France. This has nothing to do with actual American Indian melodies, but there's a piece called Variations on Air American, on the American air, and by Americans they referred exclusively to the Indians. So we're going to move right into that from Bob's piece.
Thank you.
sir, uniform sans fancy blue.
tuned a lot those days.
Lutes were worse because they had more strings. Once read a 17th century poem about a lover who wants to serenade his beloved. She's in a balcony and he's got a lute, but he takes so long tuning up his lute that she goes back inside and misses the
Another lute story is that a lutenist would spend one third of his life tuning his strings and two thirds playing out of tune.
This is why we don't play with lutenists. We run them all away with our jokes.
Thank you.
for this, but this is one last chaconne because we just can't resist these chaconnes. It's from an opera by a composer named Andonikon Philidor, and I was disappointed to find out that it was not an undiscovered woman composer. An was a name for males as well as females in the 18th century. This is from an opera, Diane, and the whole text you have on your program is basically just, it's so nice to be faithful, and you should burn only for the everlasting bond with your